Good evening and welcome to another Shed session. And once again, I'm so excited. I can't believe it. We've got Lavinia with us and she's the lead of the wonderful band Flamingo. And there's another project which we'll talk about later. But Lavinia, it's so lovely to have you with us in the Shed.
Well, thank you so much, Warren. It's so lovely to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you for saying yes.
Of course.
It's always one of those things you get a message out to a band or an artist you love and you think, what's going to happen? And then they say yes. And good things happen when people say yes.
I'm
also joined in the Shed by Ian/Tiger Mendoza. And he always looks at me rather worried, like I'm going to say something odd or peculiar. But he's here doing the audio and we just recorded a Shed session a few days ago. So it's twice in a week. It's quite a lot. But I'll have more. You can come whenever you like. And we had a great time discussing Shed sessions and, you know, where it all started and what's been happening. And there's other random bits and bobs in there too. But it's a nice, calm listen. So thank you, Ian, for being here again and doing the audio. And Stefano, you legend. I'm so happy you're here too. So thank you very much for joining us and just being a lovely presence and taking some cool photos and learning the tricks here. I know you did the audio on one of the episodes for Dog Milk and we've got another one lined up soon. I won't say who it is. I really want to.
Don't.
It's a secret. Okay, cool. And then Davide, nice to meet you and I'm so glad you're here with Lavinia. And it's always nice when artists can feel comfortable and happy, and I feel we can create really great music and conversation when everyone's comfortable and happy. So welcome everyone.
What's in your shed? What's in your shed? Pictures and treasures and the books that we read. What's in your shed? What's in your shed?
I normally start off, I think something dropped. I've got so many. Everyone's worried because I've got candles behind me. I've got two candles. I sacrifice everything for ambiance. But we usually start off these Shed sessions with a nice little conversation about what's been going on, and it usually relates to the weather. Very British indeed, but the weather always changes and the seasons always change, so there's always something to talk about. And we've had quite a bit of rain recently. The ground is getting really soggy. We're at the bottom of a hill and I think it all kind of collects there. Nice for frogs, and the fish in the pond don't mind. They keep coming up to the surface and their mouths open really big because they want air or they want to catch raindrops or something. But my daughter came up to the shed earlier on and she saw them doing that and she said, "Daddy, they're really hungry." And I said, "No, I just fed them. I don't know, they like the rain. They like going up to the surface when it rains." And the evenings are drawing in. It's getting a little bit darker and not as cold as I thought. And there's still some flowers in the garden and the raspberries are still there clinging on for dear life. They're not as good as they used to be. I wouldn't eat them now. And I've got a little friend that keeps coming to visit. It's a tiny robin. And when I'm working at my desk in here, I can hear this tapping on the window. And I look out and there's this robin. There's a garden tool that's lent up against the window outside. And it just perches itself on top. It's actually a broom. And it perches itself on top. And it looks in. And then I go over and look at it. And then when I take my phone out to try take a picture, it goes. So it knows it's a little special moment that I can't capture. I've captured it once and I've got a little video of it, but it's my little friend, a robin that's joined us. And we met at the Riverside Festival.
Speaking of rain, yeah, we did. It was a very rainy day as well, but very wonderful. I remember playing and you being in the rain listening to Flamingo, and I felt so blessed that someone was actually listening to us despite the bad weather. It was my first rainy festival in England, so it was a bit of an experience, but I really loved it. The Riverside atmosphere is just great. Such a great festival.
It is, and I mean, when there's such amazing bands playing, I don't think anyone minds. You know, you're out there.
Yeah, it's true.
You enjoy it, and I think that's part of an English festival, is a bit of rain. But yeah, you're lucky if that's the first time there's been rain. I think if they've been dry most of the time, that's a good thing.
Yeah, no, exactly. Or maybe I've not been to enough UK-based festivals, but I will try to catch up in the next few years.
Well, I think you'll probably be performing at many, I hope.
Fingers crossed.
Truck Festival, that would be nice. Who knows?
If you're listening.
Well, your performance with Flamingo was superb, and I got a chance to chat with you and the band afterwards, which was a real treat. And then I thought, we need to do this. We need to get you in the shed and hear some more.
Yeah, and it was really lovely to meet in. And my bandmates are not here today, but just because I just came back from a very rainy country, Thailand, which is currently in the rainy season, so did not have much time to prepare with a full band setup. But yeah, just kudos to Johnny Payne, Joe Saxton, and Chris Barker. They're amazing friends, amazing musicians. I have the pleasure to share the stage with sometimes. So yeah, that was a great time. Great memories of Riverside, really.
Well, it was superb, and Flamingo were rocking. They were great. I loved it so much, and I can't wait to hear your first song.
Yeah, sure. So this is Komorebi, title track of the album I released in 2020.
Come from is home.
I did not realize this song talks so much about rain, actually. It's just perfect with the weather.
Oh, that's it is incredible. That song is so beautiful.
Oh,
I've been
filling
my days with your album Komarebi, and I just adore it so much. And to hear it now in the shed live with me sitting pretty much like less than a meter from you, it's such a privilege. So thank you. That was
so
beautiful,
much.
Beautiful. And I can hear the raindrops outside, and I wonder if it's being picked up on the mic. Probably.
Yeah,
will
I was
be.
Thinking the same. It's just like, you know, those like lo-fi soundtracks that I personally love, especially when I'm working. It was just like the perfect pairing. So I really enjoyed playing with this background and this lovely room full of lovely people. So
oh,
thank
good.
You so much,
I think
Warren.
It's going to be such a pleasure. Thank you. It's going to sound magnificent. What it does, I know it does. And the recording is going to be perfect. I was going to talk about something else, but now that you've played your title track from your album, Komarebi, why don't we talk about that for a bit? And you kindly gave me a copy, which I'm picking up now, and it's on vinyl, and it's called Komarebi, and it is a stunning cover. The photography is beautiful. It's got that lo-fi feel to it, and the disc itself is a translucent berry red splatter kind of thing. But tell us a little bit more about this album.
Yeah, so it's an album I have mixed feelings about. I really enjoyed doing it. And it's published by an Italian/Californian label called We Were Never Being Boring. They do publish a lot of like shoegaze stuff from Italy. I'm really a huge fan of most bands they publish, so it was really such a honor to be actually on their roster. And it's an album that it kind of came out from my experience in Japan. I lived there for a couple of years, and it was an amazing experience, but also quite, I think I always say it's when I became an adult, basically. So it was quite challenging. And yeah, I tend to use music to process experiences, even very like easygoing, funny ones, or more like deep ones. So yeah, came back. I met up with a couple of friends who are great producers, Julian Dimitrenko and Giacomo Carlone, who are the respectively the bassist and the drummer that you hear in the album. I had probably half of the songs, the other half came while we were recording. I always find that when I like playing music or recording or playing live, that's when the songs usually come out more easily. Otherwise, if I'm just like caught up in the work routine, easily 6 months, 1 year can pass by and I do not write a single song. So it was really nice because it was this ongoing process. And it was, we wanted to record live as much as possible. So it's like not like a super polished album, but we wanted to keep that sort of feeling of urgency that I felt when I wrote the songs, but we also felt in the rehearsal room, like it was just a very nice chemistry between the three of us. And then the bitter feeling comes from the fact that we came out on the exact weekend when Italy went on a full lockdown because of COVID. We were supposed to play at South by Southwest the month after in Austin, Texas, and it was like a dream coming true for me, but of course that got cancelled. So it's an album that is sort of, it's still like lingering around, but it's never been really played live that much. Luckily, now I have a UK band and I've been playing it more and more live, but it's just like, I don't know, it never really found its place into the world. And who knows, it will be, we'll find it one day maybe, or maybe not, but it's fine because it just accompanied me and my experiences and my friends and my music friends a lot. So I think that's enough. I do basically write music just to be with people, share experiences, and I think it did the job, so I'm quite happy with it. But I've been writing a few new songs now, so we'll see. Maybe new stuff will come up soon. I don't know, but maybe, hopefully.
Wow, that's exciting. And you can tell this album is really honest, and it sounds amazing. And I love the intro track, which is called Where It Ends. And it sounds like you're in a busy place in Japan, or maybe an airport or a subway or
a subway,
somewhere.
Yeah.
And you picked up a recording from around there, and that was really a nice idea. It sort of sets up an atmosphere before you go into the track called Rose, which is another beauty.
Thank you. Yeah, it's funny. That was probably the first field recording I ever made, and I did it when I was going to pick up my stuff and about to leave Japan for good. So it was a sort of memory. The stations you hear being called at the platform are basically the ones on my usual line. When I used to live near the old fish market in Tsukiji. Now it moved away, but the one everyone knows from, like, I don't know, documentaries and stuff. I was living like 500 meters from there. And I recorded that bit. And then a couple of years later, like last year, I took a sound... like a field recording course at Goldsmiths, and it was really, really incredible. I loved it so much. And I think it all came from that recording that was really random. So it was just like a nice introduction to a field I was completely unaware of, still very much I am. But yeah, it just made me realize how much sometimes sounds are as beautiful as music. So yeah, and it's of course like an intro to what the album is about to some extent.
Yeah, and there's a track called Tokyo. So it's very much rooted in your experience from Japan or your time in Japan, I guess. I mean...
Yeah, it's funny. So Tokyo, I'm going to tell you a little secret. It's a song I wrote like 10 years ago before going to Japan. And I had a sort of vivid image in my head of this urban jungle and myself sort of floating within this huge city that did not have a name. I was living in Norway at the time, so definitely not in a huge city. And just stayed there for many years. And then when I came back from Japan and I thought about that song again, it just made sense. And it's almost as if I was talking about an experience I haven't lived yet. And so that's why I sort of, let's say, rebranded it as Tokyo. But it's funny, sometimes you write songs thinking about something or nothing at all, and then years later I think you just realize they fit very well with some more recent experience you've had.
Yeah, and it could be a premonition or a feeling like you're going to be doing something one day. Or I love art like that, where you've, without knowing it, you've got some foresight, you know, there's an idea that's brewing and eventually it's going to find its place. And this album is, sounds like it's a hidden treasure, and interesting how it takes on a life of its own. It wants to be in the time that it is. It was made when it was made, and things happened and things changed, and now it's almost like a living thing. You've set it free, you're playing the songs live, and they take on a different form then, I can imagine. But it's happily one of my favorite albums in my collection, and it sits next to The Flaming Lips.
Oh, that's actually, first of all, that's too kind. But second of all, I love Flaming Lips. It's a shared passion I have with my husband, Davide. We recently went to their, was it 25th anniversary of Yoshimi Battles the Pink Robots in London? Ooh. It was a great show.
Well, what a coincidence, because I recently alphabetized my record collection. And this sat next to the Flaming Lips.
So amazing. I love that.
It's very, very nice. And I mean, Rose is a standout track for me. It's so, so cool. I love how it builds and builds and then it just kind of breaks and it gets heavy. And there's some rocky stuff on here later on. It's a favorite. And yeah, congratulations. And it will live on.
Oh, thank you so much for it. I'm really glad you're listening to it.
Yeah, it's so lovely. And it was a gift from you. And I'm so happy to have it. Maybe I'll find a pen later and you can autograph it for me. Should we go into another song?
Yeah, sure. So this is the last track of the album, which is a sort of bonus track. I recorded it with my iPhone in a studio of a friend that is where they record this format called Off the Corner I was telling you about earlier on today. So it's a studio where they have sessions quite similar to these. The guy who runs the sessions and owns the studio is a very close friend of mine, Tiziano. And basically on that day he was busy, and for some reason I was working remotely from his studio, and he locked the guitars in one room where I did not have access to. So there was just a piano there. And for some reason I was inspired on that specific moment. So I just wrote a song and recorded it on the piano. And it's the only song played on the piano on that album. And in general, I would say probably of between the stuff I've released. But I really enjoyed the song. So I tried to make a guitar version. I'm not sure if that works out fine, but we'll try. So the song is called Melancholia.
Worked fantastically well away from the piano. Wow.
Yeah, I'm still working out a guitar sound a little bit. It's funny, like my setup, I use chrome strings, which are like
flat, like they do not make a very squeaky sound when you move your fingers in it, but sometimes it loses some grip, so I'm not sure, but it was an experiment, let's say.
Yeah, it sounded great. Very, again, very atmospheric. It makes me drift away. I sit here and I close my eyes and I slowly nod my head, and it's definitely a salve. It's a medicine. It's a potion. It's magic. It's warming, and it's so good to have you playing those songs in here. Speaking of Japan again, before we may move away from the songs on this album, and I've never been, and I can imagine it must be a place of great inspiration and contrast and intrigue. Did you find that Japan influenced your writing, or you got ideas from Japan?
Ooh, good question. I did, like, Flamingo had a Japanese band as well, so it's funny, like, Flamingo finds its way in every country I live into, so definitely, I think it made me get closer to some genres, which are not necessarily related to Flamingo, but I definitely got more into emo, math rock, that kind of stuff. It's very popular in Japan. A lot of Italian bands or British bands were actually coming touring Japan while I was there, so I would catch up with them. So that's definitely a genre I started exploring more when I was in Japan, at the time just as a listener, and now, let's say I've been lucky enough to be asked to join an emo project here in Oxford, and I'm having really a great time with a Spring Major, so this new band, Oxford based. And also in Japan there's a lot of jazz, like huge jazz scene, very amazing musicians, really. It's quite, yeah, it makes you question your music abilities being in Japan, because people can be really, like, really full on something and just working really hard to reach perfection. And so definitely I explored genres that I was not that, just not that interested in before. And definitely also, I think I started being more and more into noise music or very hardcore experimental stuff. There's a few venues in Japan. There was one called, I think, Niman Volto, which means 20,000 volt. In the first neighborhood I lived in, Koenji, which is like a punk neighborhood where foreigners are really welcome. It's where all my band members were from. So great, great place to be. And they had this venue downstairs, very tiny, huge, like, sound system, and only noise music played there, and that was amazing. So I think it really, I used to be a huge fan of, like, the song structure, and I came out, like, when I came back to Europe from Japan, I think I was way more interested into non-song structured type of music, in terms of, I would say, just my listening habits, because I keep writing songs, basically, quite traditional songs in terms of structure. And it definitely, it's funny, when you live so far away, you start listening to a lot of very cheesy music from your home country. So I started listening to very weird Italian stuff, which I was not expecting to never get into. And yeah, I think, yeah, now that I think about that, it probably influenced my listening more than it influenced my playing. I think I've always found Italian musicians, and now I can say also British musicians, probably easier to work with in terms of, like, songwriting. But I had a great time in Japan, and there's Jay was the guitarist I did, like, a lot of gigs with. He came over to Italy, we did a tour together, also with another band I was in that is called Nobody Cried for Dinosaurs. They still publish your music, so go check them out, they're great. So, yeah, just good friendships, good listening parties, and music being really, like, songwriting being really useful to process a country that was so different from mine. I'm from Italy, so as you can imagine, like, yeah, it's a bit of a stretch from Italy to Japan.
Well, I can imagine it, wherever you go, it would be good for your creative thought, because you'd be like a sponge, just taking all that information, and whether you know or not at the time, you're seeing things, and it's making connections in your brain, and without realizing, you're probably writing stuff that is more open, more worldly. And I can hear it in these songs. It's unusual. And not to mention your voice. Your voice is really strong, and it's just got a beautiful texture. And I can also know that it gets quite rocky, and I can imagine you really using it to shout and scream, and I've heard it occasionally, and I think in Spring Major that comes out a bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely more than in the actual Flamingo setup. When I came back from Japan is a really quiet country, not necessarily all the time, but I felt this urge to scream. So those few gigs that we did before COVID hit, I would roll on the floor and scream very badly. I was in a bit of a moment. But then I really enjoyed that. But for Flamingo, I guess, especially working with Chris Barker, Premium Leisure, also guitarist of Willie J. Healy, it really sort of taught me the value of measure again. He's a huge, as I am, huge fan of Andy Schauf. I think when I saw Andy Schauf live, it was so delicate in terms of dynamics and so powerful for that reason. Like the volumes, the levels were just so low, but very, very, very specific in their dynamics and the way they were mixed together. So I think with Flamingo, I'm exploring more that bit now, but definitely having a band like Spring Major where I'm free to scream as much as I want is a great like other project to have. So yeah, I'm enjoying exploring those two sides. It's just like I had to relearn how to sing with Spring Major, because in the beginning I would just go wild and the day after I would be completely voiceless. I don't know if voiceless is a word, but yeah,
that
I would
works.
Just be. So no, I've studied a bit and I think now I can maybe handle it a little bit better, but still a long way to go. It's a demanding genre, I realize, for a singer, for probably any type of instrument you play, but yeah. So fun stuff.
Wow, that's so interesting to hear. You might need to use those vocal zone suites. I keep seeing singers use them, and I want a pack. Why can't I have a pack of those?
Buy them from Boots.
Really? And then I can look like a real singer.
Yes.
Do you ever use those?
Are those like just candies or?
What are they, Ian?
What?
This is my guest spot for the show, for this episode. They're throat pastels, basically. And I use them because I can't sing properly, but they're like metal singers and stuff. If you want to fake it, they're great because they just numb your throat and you can kind of sing through the pain. They're fantastic.
Oh, sounds quite dangerous, but also awesome.
So this episode is sponsored by Vocal Zone, Boots, Corn Market Street in Oxford. But yeah, I love a singer who has that diversity where they can sing softly and then scream. Frank Black from the Pixies, I love that. And he actually got trained by people, I think, who scream in the Far East. Maybe like there's a group of, it's like a religious cult movement where they scream to expel all the bad energies and vibes and stuff. But yeah, I love a good scream, and I know Kurt Cobain was very interested in that too. So it's a good thing. It's a good presentation of your art.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned like, I mean, I'm thinking of Eastern philosophies now, but like it's just like, for example, for me, I think the turning point was yoga. Like breathing in yoga, it's what saved me from losing my voice because I was not singing properly. So I think I started learning a little bit. I definitely do not consider myself like a trained or skilled singer. I just try to serve the songs, I guess. But I think yoga at least taught me how to breathe, and I think that's such an important starting point. It's just like a nice way to know yourself, I think, breathing. So yeah,
breathing and balance. I kind of like those two together. My grandpa started me off on exercises when I was 12, and he got me to hang on the chin-up bar and just breathe 10 deep breaths. and so deep until you go a bit dizzy. And then, of course, I loved skateboarding, and I would go along on my skateboard just cruising. I still love skateboarding, and I still cruise. And then always aware of your breathing in and out, and it just kind of creates a nice flow.
Oh, wow. I'm jealous. I really want to learn how to skateboard.
Oh, yeah. You just get a board and start sitting down on it first and then holding it. And I don't know. There's no real lesson to learn. You've just got to be with your skateboard a lot and try anything. I guess it's like learning an instrument, maybe.
Next shed session, I'll come back with a broken arm. You know that, right?
Oh, no. Get a cruiser. Start with that. Yeah, I'm ready for another song if you are.
Yeah, sure. Let me just... I don't remember what all the songs I plan to... Oh, okay. Yeah. So I'll just retune a little bit for this one. So this, I'm going to embarrass my husband very much right now because he's here in front of me. So this is a song I wrote for him for the first birthday of his we spent together. We've been dating for not that long, and I thought, like, he either marries me or breaks up with me. I mean, he's here now, so it worked out fine. But yeah, it was a bit of a, yeah, of a dare, bet. How do you say that? A risk.
Galaxies that sparkle while we kiss make me think that we're two spacemen throwing themselves on an expedition to the moon. It certainly is scary, but I'm confident that two explorers like us on the right maps to just get it right and stick together. Would you stick together with me for a little while? And on an expedition to the moon. It certainly is scary, but I'm confident that two explorers like us on the right maps to just get it right and stick together. Would you stick together with me for a little while? And I'm a little jet-lagged. Can a light your difference be enough for that? Or friends.
if music be the food of love, play on. What a lovely song. And to have that written about a moment in your life, it gives me tingles and goosebumps all over. That's really special. Thank you for playing that. It's beautiful.
Thank you. It's actually a new song also, so I'm trying to play when I have the chance to, and it's so lovely to play here. It just feels like it's fun. It's place, really. So thank you for the opportunity.
It's an absolute pleasure. I believe you're a bit of a multi-instrumentalist. I know you can play piano and guitar and sing, and you can tell that music is a very, very big part of your life. And I'm interested in where it all began. When were your first musical experiences?
I definitely know that my mum went to a Caetano Veloso show when I was in her belly. So I think my parents did used to go to a lot of concerts while I was sort of in process. And definitely music has been played a lot in my house. My father plays guitar. He's a really good... I'm a mediocre multi-instrumentalist very much. My father is a very, very good guitarist. Every time I see him play, even now, I'm just like really fascinated by the spontaneity he has and how he can just like flow easily across the keyboard. So it's just like, it's definitely something that has been there. And I think the first artists that were played at home that I really think are part of my personal favorites are Joni Mitchell, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, James Taylor. So I was lucky because I think my parents were playing a lot of very nice music, and they started bringing me to concerts when I was really young. There used to be, or maybe still is, still exists, a festival called Folkfest in my city, and it would feature musicians and bands from all around the world. So it was really nice to be exposed to that when I was really like probably in primary school. And when I was 7, I asked my mom to start enroll in a piano class in my school. I would go to a full-time school, which is quite strange in Italy. Usually you just go to school in the morning, but my parents were busy with work, so I was staying there in the afternoon. I started taking piano classes at school. It was a school run by nuns, which is not necessarily a great experience, but the nun that was teaching me piano, Suor Teresa, so-called, Teresa was her name, she was amazing. She was from Rome, a lovely woman, these like blue eyes, quite old. She was probably in her 80s when she was teaching me, but I don't know, she had just the greatest vibe. She was so gentle and really, I think she really inspired me with her love for music. Despite being a very, how can I say, closed school, very, a bit narrow-minded maybe. And then I started, I loved music so much. I wanted to be a rock star when I was a kid. And it clearly did not work out well, but it was just like, I just really, really loved it. And it was a bit weird because in Italy at that time, all bands were all males. So it was kind of hard to find my place in there and see like musicians that I could recognize myself into. That definitely changed over time and is still changing. And I think I picked the guitar just by chance because my father had it. And it's a portable instrument. Now my dream, if you ask me, what's your dream thing you want to do? I would love to make an album, just piano and vocals. Maybe one day I'll buy a second-hand piano. There was a time in Oxford when there were so many on sale, but it's just a bit complicated to move, especially when you rent a house and you don't know for how long you'll be there. So that's something I would like to go back. I definitely love the piano. And I think I moved to guitar also because I had a classical background in piano. While on guitar, I still have no idea what notes I play. I sort of know what chords I'm playing, but single notes, no idea. So it was giving me that freedom of focusing really on the song and the melodies. I tried to step away from music many times because I think when you really love something, sometimes it can be a little bit complicated to handle that relationship with the thing you love. But I guess I always go back to it in some form, and it's really nice because it's a bit of a fun place to be when I play or listen or just hang out with my music friends. So, yeah. I'm not sure I answered your question. Sorry, Warren.
Oh, you definitely did. And it sounds like a wonderful journey. And there's key people along the way that handed you something and you saw something in them. And I can just picture it, this amazing nun with the piercing eyes, or I don't know if they were piercing, but that's the picture I get in my head. But it's so lovely to hear how you're drawing on things all the time. You're borrowing stuff and you're thinking and you're listening and creating, which is a wonderful gift, and sharing it with us here is magical. And it gets to that part in the evening where we're going to have our last song, sadly. But before we do that, I just want to thank you again, and thanks Ian, thanks Stefano, thanks Davida, and thank you to the seasons and the rain and all of that it brings. And it's raining now, and you can probably hear it through the recording, so it's not a poor recording. It sounds better than a glitch. It sounds better than a fuzz you don't want. It's the sound of raindrops outside, and we love it. And we're all preparing for the winter, and it's a very introspective time for me. It's a time where we start reflecting and thinking and creating, and it's lovely to hear music in the shed at the turn of the season. So thank you very much.
No, thank you, Warren. I don't know, this is like the best place ever to play music. It feels really warm. Okay, so last song. You can choose, Warren. There's one which I really know you like, that is Animals or a Mosquito. But there's also another one which I've never played, and it would be a bit of a surprise for my best friend because I wrote it for her, and she might want to kill me after this. So you can choose if you want an old one or the very, very new one.
Wow, each of those has its bonus and its pitfalls. I think let's go for the, I'm sure your friend won't kill you. And I haven't heard this song, so it's always fun to hear something new. So yeah, I guess the decision is made.
Okay, let's see what happens. So yeah, I'm not gonna say anything about this. I think she's quite recognizable from the lyrics already, so yeah, I hope she'll forgive me.
Sylvia goes around the park, staring at her dog, wondering for how long she'll be by her side. She spends everything she earns straight into the vet, and the urgencies cost more. She says, I know I'm crazy, but I cannot help. I say, I know you're crazy, but you're my best friend. And when the time will come, you won't be lonely, 'cause I'll be by your side to hold your hand. 'Cause when my time will come, I won't be lonely, 'cause you'll be by my side, you're my best friend. Sylvia walks across the square looking for a sign that her friend is back in town. She keeps saying that she hates living in this place, but she wouldn't move away. I say, I know you're crazy, but you cannot help. I say, I know you're crazy, and for this you're my best friend. Remember when we met across the town church? You thought that I was Valentina's man. The short hair and my grumpy face were not those of a girl. The friendship started there and lost it then. Remember when we rode across the winter in Japan. Remember when we slept in Oslo in a freezing dorm? Remember when our first dogs used to climb up in the Alps? Remember when our parents sent us to the Neimar Ball? Ricordi il campo estivo dove ci innamoravamo? Ricordi le carezze ai nostri cani che sogniamo ancora? Ricordi le telefonate nonostante il fuso orario? Ricordati che anche se hai paura, noi ci siamo. Non ce ne andiamo. Noi ci siamo. Cause I will by your side, you're my best friend.
Get your shit together. It's better late than never. We're winding back the time clock. We'll open up the strong box. What's in your shed? Pictures and treasures and the books that we read. What's in your shed? What's in your shed?